Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell, manning the board, Hillside Medical Game Studio. Lots of things to get into today on the program. Titans a little OTA action. We'll get Mike Vrabel speaking in the second hour. You'll hear that. Also, some players going to hit the podium as well, see what they have to say about as we start June. So happy June to everybody out there. New month.
New month.
New attitude.
New month, new person, new attitude.
That's right.
Oh, and D-Mace.
A dramatic entrance.
Wow.
More like myself. More like me. Usually I'm the guy flying in right at 9:50, 9:50. Today was D-Mace. I beat D-Mace today.
I had a bunch of people over there. I had people coming in and out, man. I'm like, goodness. And then my son's here, which I'm so happy that he is.
Tell people what he's been doing. That's pretty cool.
Well, DJ, my son, Derek James. That's why we call him DJ, not for Derek Jr. Derek James. He's the second. We named him the second. Made him the second because we just felt one day he'd be president, and the second sounds better than Junior. I ran into another guy. This was, like, ironic. I forgot where we were, like, during spring break. And I ran into another guy. He was like, yeah. He's like, what's your son's name? And I told him. He was like, I'm the second, too. My dad named me the second because he didn't like Junior. Yeah. I was like, okay, there we go. Right. So I'm not the only person. But he finished up his year, of his sophomore year. He made the dean's list again at Boston U. And so he's doing an internship now at Vandy where he's going to be doing some medical research. And so I had to take him up there yesterday to get his parking pass and – you know, kind of map everything out so everything's not new. So he's going to be at the medical library, and, you know, he's excited. So, you know, it's going to be a full
He's a go-getter, man.
Work.
He's going to get it. It's
he's going to have a 9-to-5, man. A serious 9-to-5. Like, man, I don't think I ever worked a 9-to-5. Thank God. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but, you know, yeah, he's working a 9-to-5,
yeah,
man.
Good for him, man. That's pretty awesome.
So I'm glad to have him here in Nashville for the summer. So,
He's here for the summer.
Yeah, he's here for the summer. Nice. He'll be here. Yeah, he'll be here until August, and then, you know, I guess you guys are the first to know now. We'll be taking a vacation in August. My daughter, just before they go back. Before he goes back to school, not her. She's already graduated.
She's already graduated.
Yeah. But he'll be here until August. So I'm happy. Yeah. It's nothing like
summer. Summer's happening. It's happening.
It's nothing like having your son. I love my daughter to death, believe me. And, you know, my son thinks my daughter is my favorite. maybe not. I'm not going to say. But it's good. You know, it's good. You guys know. You both have sons. It's just something different about you. It's something different about your daughter, too. She has a special place. But you and your son, y'all can just, it's just two guys, man, you know. It's just I enjoy having them around. I really do. So,
plus the IQ in the house went way up. I mean, way up.
Hey, you ain't lying about that.
Way up. I mean, I'm just saying.
If they had,
you know,
the
we
IQ.
Were having a warm and fuzzy moment here, and then Darren just came in for the knees, man. Yeah. Just drop kick,
just straight bam, bam, back to the knees.
I mean, I don't remember any Dean's List stuff at Michigan State. I don't
remember that story.
You've left that story out.
I made a list, but it wasn't the Dean's List.
That's on Fridays at noon.
Exactly.
You made the list, just not the Dean's List.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you that story would have been told by now. I feel like we would have heard that story.
Y'all would have heard a long time ago.
Yeah.
How I made the Dean's List. Nah, I didn't make that list. I made a couple of other lists, but not that one.
I kind of felt like that that story would be on hand most days, I would think.
Absolutely. I made the list of, hey, hey, kid, if you don't get it straight by next semester, you might be gone.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble, buddy.
Yeah, the study hall list. That's exactly. That's the one. I got that one a couple times. Mandatory study hall. Yeah.
Just want to know that you're on the bubble, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah.
The NCAA
that's
tournament.
That's right.
Terms.
Yeah.
You're on the bubble.
The GPA bubble.
I was on that bubble that first semester, boy. Woo, woo. Man. But, you know they send your report cards. I say report cards in college, but it is a report card. They send them home, you know. Back then, they would send them home. And even at 19, 20, I was still scared that my parents would see my report card. So I made sure I
give them the wrong address.
I think I told my sister something to grab it if they see it.
If you see a green envelope
that says Michigan State, please grab it.
Please grab it. If there's anything green on that envelope, take it.
Anything that says Michigan State,
if it says Michigan
green,
State,
just take it.
And if there's green inside it, give it to me.
Yeah.
Green on the outside, you take it. Hide it. Green inside, give it to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know.
A new term for interception.
Yep, so there we go.
Interesting game one last night in Denver, Colorado.
Man, was it a game.
What a game.
Goodness.
That was fun.
Were they just handing out goals?
I don't think it's going to be like that the rest of the series, but
I hope it is.
I don't know. Maybe it will be.
I think we might see a few more open games with these two teams. I think they, deep down, I know, you know, coaches are always like, you got to play defense. Mm-hmm. But I think deep down, those teams, they kind of like to play like that.
Yeah, it's just like, man.
So we might see a couple more like that. I hope, anyway.
Defense? Who plays that anymore?
Yeah. Plus the two goalies, or whoever they end up being, and both teams, for different reasons, had to switch goalies. They're just not capable, I don't think, of consistently shutting down those two offenses. It'll be different tonight in the East. You know, you've got the best goalie of the season against the best goalie, period. So I think you could have really good scoring chances and still have a 2-1 game in that series. But those goalies in the other series, you might have a 2-1 game here or there, but I think there's going to be some more goals scored, which is great for us because I think you get, just as an entertainment factor, you get to have that, look at this. They can't stop each other.
I mean, it's great for hockey.
Yeah. What the heck?
You know, it's sort of like, and you know, if you guys agree with me, let me know. It's sort of like the, you know, what college football was going through for a while, or baseball, or the NBA, where there was just no offense. It was hard to generate offense. And I know baseball, what did they do? Lower the mound? They did something.
Right. You tweak the rules to help the offense.
Tweak them just a little bit. And then, you know, in basketball, you know, there's no more hand checking and all this other stuff. And then, you know, college football, they changed the rules as well. So people want to see offenses. People want to see teams score. Yes, we love defense, but we are, you know, enamored by offense. And if you can get another, you know, 8-6 or 5-4 game, you know, between, you know, in this hockey's Western Conference or either in the Eastern Conference, I think it bode well for hockey. So
the controversy ensued. I think that was the 7th goal. Is that right?
To give them the 7-3
lead?
Was it the 6th goal or the 7th?
No, this was – you're talking about the offside one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was in the 6th. That was in the first period.
Oh, that was in the first period?
Yeah.
No, it was the second.
It was the end of the first period because Edmonton had just scored to tie it 2-2.
Yeah.
Makar scores to make it 3-2. They lose the challenge, and then Colorado comes out and cashes in on the power play to make it 4-2. So it was a huge
swing.
Play in the game. It was the double whammy, right? This is what happened to the Predators in the playoffs in the same kind of situation. They lost the challenge, and it was a double whammy because Colorado cashed in on the power play there. That's why some still philosophically think that you shouldn't have that much on the line when you challenge. I understand why they have the rule in there. They don't want people challenging all over the place. But if you only get one, It was a really interesting nuance of the rule that, quite honestly, the announcers.
Okay, let's
didn't
just
get
save it.
It.
Let's get okay. into it on the other side, because there's a lot to unpack. And, you know, the league just continues to have a problem with these challenges. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm laughing with you guys in our group text. Like, yeah, if you think you know what they're coming back with, again, you don't. And by the way, they were as convinced as all get out. Like, it was a done deal on the broadcast. So we'll get into all that. And, of course, they came back, and they were wrong. Because, indeed, just like we saw all year long, they came back with a different answer. I've been saying it. My tweets all year, 50-50. Pick out some darts and throw it at the board. And last night, again, they didn't seem like it was 50-50. They were like, this is not counting. And they came back and said, we got a good goal. We'll come back and discuss it next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game 106.3. And you'll need that AC to be working today, for sure. I think it's going to be a hot one. About 90 degrees. So enjoy the warm weather. Today, back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Last night, an exciting game one. Avs and Oilers. Here's a question. How many people in this market really care? I think we've grown enough over almost 25 years that even when the Predators are out, there's enough people paying attention. There used to be a problem in this market where once the Preds were done or, you know, their season was over, everybody moves on. I think this market has grown enough where people are paying attention. I know they are. I see social media. I know. But I wonder how much, though. But exciting game. If you weren't paying attention, Cale Makar you know, steals the puck in the neutral zone, and it looked like he was clearly offsides. And
well, he wasn't offside. His teammate was offside.
Looked like the play was going to be an offside play because Nichushkin looked to be, you know, offside. They didn't make it back, but it was really strange because you've got a broadcast team. You've got Don Kaharski, who they trot out there as their former ref.
Don's got to sharpen up on the rules.
He reminds me of the dude on Jurassic Park, the first one.
Let's just start right there. Let's literally start right there. You have a former ref on to lend his insights to this. And Don Kaharski gets on there and says, oh, yeah, this is not going to count. Yep. Not going to count, folks. Good challenge there. Going to be offsides. Good call. How can you have a former ref? This is what he's brought in for. Like, it's one thing for the broadcast team. They didn't know either.
Yep.
They had no clue.
And these are really good announcers. We're talking about Keith Jones and Ed Olczyk. These are the top analysts out there. The TNT chose. This is their first team.
Yeah.
And I will admit this, as an announcer, I might have missed that one. I might have had something signaling going, wait a minute, I know that there is a tag-up rule. I could not have articulated it in the moment. I might have held back in saying, this is clearly offside. It's a nuance in the rule. I can see how you would miss it. Elliot Friedman has a really good article breaking down exactly what the rule is. It's called the tag up, right? You can tag up even though you're offside, as long as you tag up before Cale Makar touches the puck in the offensive zone. So that's what was deceiving, because he pushed the puck across the line. And you can argue that he's in possession of the puck the whole time. But the rule is, as long as he touches it outside the line and doesn't touch it again inside the zone before Nichushkin tags up, the play's good. And what Elliot said was, there are a lot of people that were texting him, GM's video coach, is saying, this goal's going to count. I feel bad for Edmonton because this happened to us during the season. This goal is going to count for sure, and Edmonton has no idea. So really, Edmonton is to blame for not realizing that this is the rule, but this is the complexity of the NHL rule book that pops up. There's all kinds of little details and stuff sometimes that come into play, and you're like, wait a minute. If a video coach doesn't even know that rule,
then
your rule book is pretty pretty complicated, maybe too complicated. And this happens all the time. I told you guys before, like Stu Grimson, having a law degree, and he was on NHL Network breaking it down last night. He used to look at the rule book all the time and read all of the little contradictions and things that come up and all these little cases. And it's just like, this is too complex, man. There's too many things here coming into play, and it's totally confusing. How could anybody know exactly what the rules are at all times? It's tough. But apparently this was applied several times during the season, so the call by the letter of the law was 100% accurate. But it was just mystifying that Don Koharski, the guy that you're paying to come on as an experienced lifetime referee, didn't know.
Well,
that was bad.
Don Koharski, look, Edmonton is just in the same boat.
Yes.
I mean, that video room, that's their job. That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to know the rules, and they're paid to know this situation. That's literally what they do. That's what they're there for. So they don't get a pass either. Like, I understand
that's complicated. That's the biggest one.
They're number one on the list. That's their job. And if they don't know, and a former ref doesn't know, what are we talking about here? Why are we talking about Rule 83.3? Why is it this complicated that there's this many people involved in the sport heavily have no clue what they're coming back with? How's that possible?
Well,
and why would you have a rule that is that complicated that people in the sport, people in the know, still don't know the rule and can't get it right? That makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I guess it tells me that there's ambiguity in the rule.
Oh, yes.
That there's nothing. Well, we can interpret it this way, or we can interpret it that way, or we can interpret it that way. And that's a problem, especially in the playoffs.
Well, there's a lot of rules like that. This one was the correct interpretation of the call. It's just a real small nuance that could be easily missed by guys who know the game pretty well. But apparently, according to Elliot on the Sportsnet website, you can read this. This particular situation was a major emphasis prior to the playoffs for teams and broadcasters. The NHL took pains to remind everyone that a player's skate is allowed to be off the ice, provided it has not cleared the plane of the blue line when entering the zone, but that's not good enough while exiting. In other words, they went over this with the broadcasters, that this could be something that happens. This happened during the season, so don't get fooled on this. And they still
got fooled.
And I can see how it happens. It happens. I know it happens to everybody at least once a season, where you get caught on a rule that you're not quite sure about. So it's a bad feeling in the booth, let me tell you, from firsthand experience, because I've been there. But the Oilers video coaches are the ones that are kicking themselves right now, because they give up the goal and then it's a double whammy.
Sure.
And now you're playing catch up. And they made a great comeback. But think about if they just let that goal stand, which they should have, and they're, you know, maybe they tied the game instead of come back to within one. You never know.
Well, that was a huge swing for the Avalanche, that particular play, because you end up getting a 2-for-1 basically. You know, after Edmonton had tied it, and it seems like they had a little momentum, and then all of a sudden, you know, because that goal happened quickly.
Oh, right after. It's like nine
seconds.
Yeah,
looking like, man, he shot the puck.
Kenny Albert didn't even have a chance to call it.
They were still talking about the goal before. And then he ends up scoring, and then they end up getting in the power play, and they end up scoring it again. So, that was a huge turning point. So, I mean, Edmonton, they got to be kicking themselves in the butt. They might say this might affect them moving forward in regards to challenging plays. Because you want to make sure, like, okay, if I challenge, I know the rule.
Unless it's something simple. And those guys do that. Yeah. I know the Predators guys, they spend a lot of time. In fact, I will guarantee you, if they didn't meet about it last night, they're going to talk about it today and say, okay, would we have, you know, let's go over this. Okay, did you know that? Yeah, I knew that. You know, they will talk through it and just file it away, because that's what you want to do, is do the best you can to understand in the – because – when it happens in a game, it's on you, mm-hmm. right? The coach and everybody on the bench is relying on you, the video coach, to say, yeah, challenge. Do it. He's offside. Mm-hmm. You know, the coach isn't going to be able to do it. The coach has a monitor on the bench, mm-hmm. but that's not a really good view. You don't know what calls, you know, you don't know what camera angle you're going to see. Back in the room, you've got all the video access that you need, all the camera angles mm-hmm. that Toronto has, and you're making that quick decision. You're communicating that to the bench. Yes, challenge. And I don't know what happened with the Oilers. I don't know if they just completely didn't think of that nuance, or maybe they were just a little too eager to say, he's offside, and they quickly gave the signal. Yeah. So this was clear cut. Oh, he's offside, without thinking it through and saying, wait a minute, he was offside, but he tagged up and Makar doesn't touch the puck. I'd like to hear what their thought process was.
How they overlooked it. How long do they have before they got to make a determination of whether to challenge? Because they still got a timeout in their pocket. Can they use that timeout to further look at the video? Or
I haven't seen a team actually call a timeout, but I don't think there's anything against the rule. What they usually do, you're supposed mm-hmm. to do it in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds. So the ref is going to come over. But what do? You have some people skating around. You know, there's stall tactics, right? You have – you know, you kind of give the hold sign. You have somebody come up and talk to the official. You try to, you know, you do some things to buy yourself some extra seconds. Mm-hmm. And the referees know what's happening. They know they're waiting to get the signal. Mm-hmm. So it's not a hard, fast rule. Some people think you should have a hard, fast clock that says, okay, are you challenging or are you not? But eventually that's what the ref has to do. He has to come in and say, all right, are you challenging or not? You got to give me a call. And so... you know, if you're the coach, you say, wait a minute, was he offside? Can I challenge this? You know, you try to keep the conversation going before you get pinned down uh-huh. on the answer. Then you get the signal, yes, challenge, or nope, we're not challenging.
Yeah, it's very loose, by the way.
It's loose, but there is a time limit. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have all day.
If there's this many people, we're in the third round of the playoffs that still can't figure this out, you might want to reevaluate that rule. You may want to come up with something that more people can understand. How can that many people not know? We're in the third round of the playoffs. We're in the conference final. And that many people missed it. Think about that. Mm. Basically, everybody missed it.
Well, this
other than Toronto.
This is one of the things that's a part of the issue with the replay challenge system. Not so much with offside, but with goaltender interference. Mm-hmm. You've got these retired refs, Koharski being one of them. Koharski's now, you know, he's not in the situation room. He's now on TV. But he's in the same category as some of these guys who are actually in the situation room, supposedly helping the situation. Those guys have been around for a long, long time. But are they the best at analyzing video and replays? Not necessarily. Some of them might be better than others. But they're used to be out there on the ice. You know, they made it through their career doing something completely different than sitting in the room and watching replays. So sometimes I'm not sure if that helps, having that guy in there. And obviously Koharski is not sharpened up on his rules. ESPN's got their own guy, Dave Jackson, mm-hmm. who I think has been better. But
well, it makes TNT look bad. It makes them look bad.
Right.
You know,
everybody's going to be wrong sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when you take whoever it is in basketball or football, Mike Pereira and those guys, mm-hmm. they're wrong sometimes, but they're usually not wrong on the rule, mm-hmm. right? They know the rule. Koharski missed the rule on this one. It's one thing to say, hey, I think that was pass interference, or uh-huh. I think that was goalie interference. That's pretty subjective.
It's
can
opinion.
Be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one, he should have known the rule.
Mm. Yeah, not good. All right, we'll come back. Switch gears to the Titans, by the way. Mike Vrabel is supposed to speak at around 11:15, we'll carry that live at the podium OTAs today. But first, Willie, you got a word about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. This is a product that is out in our listening area now. This is the time of the year where people love to get out and be active. But if you've got that joint pain in your hips, your shoulders, your knees, your ankles, wherever it is, it can really take some of the fun out of this part of the year. Maybe you like to hike. Maybe you like to bike. Maybe you like to get out of that golf course. Whatever it is that you love to do, if you've been inhibited by some joint pain, you want to look into QC Kinetics because it's helping people get that fun back with advanced regenerative treatments from local medical professionals. This in-office non-surgical treatment can repair and restore that damaged tissue in your joints. It gives you lasting relief from pain, and so you can get real relief with no surgery, no drugs, no downtime. It puts it right into your aching joints and helps get that pain away and restore the tissue. That's what you're looking for, real relief from pain. So stop putting it off. Call QC Kinetics and learn about this regenerative medicine. Get a totally free in-office consultation. Just call 615-249-4024 and see if this is for you. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
102.5 The Game and 106.3 plus 102.9 The Buzz, our sister station. And the Preds will host a 615-day celebration at Fordyce Center in Antioch. That'll be Wednesday, June 15th. Be benefiting Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615-day, an occasion that pairs Music City's area code with the date of June 15th. For more details and to bet on silent auction items, visit thegamenashville.com/615-day. Back here on the DDC. Man, this Top Gun Maverick movie is the smash hit, right?
I haven't seen
it. Golly. Well, I don't think anybody on the show has seen it. I think we're the only ones left.
I know. I've been planning on seeing it. I haven't seen it yet. I would like to, though.
Is it free?
Everybody is not free.
Well, I'll wait till it get on HBO or something and watch it.
Seriously. They're making a ton. It's smashing records left and right. And everybody says it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed, you know.
If they waited this
long. You tried it right. You tried to do it.
You better do it right.
Well, but that doesn't always work out that way.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, who's...
I'm going to go see it.
I wonder who's saying it's really good. Is it the people that never seen the original one and say, oh my goodness, this is... The part two is great. Or is everyone that's seen the original one to this one? Because this is not a remake, is it? It's just a continuation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a 30-year sequel.
Man, he's still in the air, the fighting game.
Still capable, I guess.
Exactly. No, airplane fighting game.
Look, he's not in his prime anymore, but he's like Tom Brady, man. He's not.
He's the GOAT.
Aging. Yeah. Yeah, he's the GOAT.
He's Maverick. Maverick.
All right. I'm glad it's good. The other thing that seems to be sweeping and I haven't watched yet is the new season of Stranger Things.
Oh.
Have you watched it?
I'm watching it now. I love it.
I've always loved Stranger Things. I have loved it. I just haven't watched season four yet.
But it's like weird to watch them get older.
They are older, aren't they? Yeah. Oh, man.
New season's pretty dark.
Yeah, it is dark.
I heard it's good, though.
It is dark. It's good, but it's dark.
Okay. It's the real deal.
Okay.
Adam from Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Top Gun Maverick was awesome. Gotta see it. 4D. In 4D.
Okay, what makes it so good? Is it now because some people, like, say for instance, Transformers, when the first Transformer came out to the most recent one, you say it was really good. Well, is it the storyline or is it because of the visual effects now? They are heightened.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Transformers, it was because they've gotten more creative with the... With the, the visual aesthetics. Things look so real. I wonder if that's the way it is for Maverick, that they've done so much, from a cinematic standpoint that it looks like, man, this is just.
You must have all kinds of opportunities now that you didn't have in 1985 or whatever that was where it came. Was it 85?
I thought it was 88. What
was it? 88?
Maybe 86.
I don't know. I just.
85, 86.
It was somewhere. It was the 80s.
Mid-80s.
It was definitely 80s.
Do they still do the high five? I mean, the hand clap they did back then?
86.
86, okay.
Wow. Man, that was fun.
He and Goose?
Yeah, he and Goose did the hand clap.
The need for speed. I feel the need. 86. The need for speed.
86. Man, I was 12 years old. Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I went and saw it. I remember going to see it in the theater. Big group. We got went the big
to
group.
The, I think we went to the drive-in to see it. The drive-in, yeah.
Wow.
Back then.
Okay.
Yeah, the drive-in. They need to bring those back. I don't know. They have a few. They have one in Kentucky, I believe.
They do, yeah.
But they need to bring drive-ins back.
Would people go, though?
There still are a few out there. There's still a few out there.
Because now you don't have to put the thing in your car. Your window.
The little speaker?
Yeah, the little clunky speaker. Hey, turn it up. I can't hear.
And just with awful sound.
Exactly. Awful. Now it just comes through your speakers automatically.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, we were out Saturday night out to dinner with a group in Atlanta, and that's when it first tipped off. Several people at the table just saw Top Gun Maverick, and they were just going on and on. I was like, really? I didn't even give it a thought. 30-year sequel? Come on. No, I'm not interested. And they were just going on and on and on about it. Then I started just seeing stuff all weekend on social media, just people everywhere just going. Is anybody seen it that didn't like it? Text us or call us.
I'd love
to know if there was anybody that didn't like it. I haven't heard anyone say that they didn't like it. It's amazing. And it set all kinds of box office records. What did it make? Almost 150 million, 200 million, something like that. It was crazy. But yeah, I haven't heard anybody say they didn't like it.
Hmm. Well, when it's free, I'll watch it.
So you're not excited enough to go to the theater. And
I'm excited, but for me, if I'm going to spend money, it has to be it can't be a movie like that. I will spend money watching the new Transformers that's going to come out in a few years.
Batman, you went to the Batman.
Or the new what's that that comes out later this year with the blue people. Avatar. The new Avatar.
There's a new Avatar?
Yeah, there's a new Avatar that's coming out. So I will pay to see that, but not Top Gun.
The blue people.
Not to say that it's not good, but I just wouldn't.
You know what's sad? I almost said Smurfs when you said blue people. I was almost blurting it out like on a game show. Was that Smurfs? No,
do you know
wrong.
What I was going to say? Blue Man Group's got a movie? What? You're thinking Smurfs. I'm thinking Blue Man Group. I don't even know why. I've never even seen them.
Yeah. I got to go to the theater, man. The Smurfs, they're coming out. I got a big screen, man. I got to see them.
Both of y'all would have had two strikes now.
The Smurfs.
Show me the Smurfs.
Well, there's so many. It's amazing, people are, I guess, back into the whole movies, going to the movie scene, right? Because we can do it again. I was seeing people this weekend you got to go see it. Kind of Adam in Clarksville saying, you got to go 40, be on the big screen because it's about to get taken off in, because was it Jurassic Park?
Yeah,
that's coming in. They're pushing it to the smaller screen.
I'll pay to go see Jurassic Park, too.
Okay.
There's people that know when it's coming out and what screens they're going to be on. I was like, man, I think I'm getting left behind in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Because we're getting older, man.
I think right now a lot of us are in this mode that Derek's in, so you got to bring something to the table to have it be worth going to see.
Because it costs so much to go to the movies.
It costs a lot.
Yeah.
It is not cheap anymore. But it's a lot more comfortable. I will give him that.
I give him that. Yeah, you're right.
Gator Tim on our text line says there's a drive-in in Watertown. And he said they do quite well. So
Yeah, there's still a few of them scattered out there. Yeah.
They need to bring them back, man. I'm telling you. Especially in states where the climate is pretty much warm all year round for the most part. They need to have them there all the time. Need to hashtag drive-ins.
Donovan in Franklin said, I'm very young, so my opinion may not matter. Well, I don't know why your opinion would matter, Donovan, just because you're young. I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's honestly the first person that I think has said, didn't love it as much as the first one.
Duly noted.
Yeah. No, look, there's got to be some people, but you wouldn't know it by reading everybody's responses. Everybody's just saw it. Oh, my gosh, awesome. You got to go. And it's wow, okay. I mean, that was the reaction I got Saturday night. Mm-hmm. They were just going on and on. And I was I'm looking around am I getting punked? Really? This Top Gun movie 30 years later is actually good? And they're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's awesome. So I'm like, okay. All right.
Well, now you gotta go see it.
Maybe I'll go see.
Nah, you gotta go.
Tom Cruise nope. Still got it, I guess.
Mm-mm. He hasn't aged either, the way it seems.
Well.
Yeah.
He probably sleeps in, you know.
He probably sleeps upside down.
Something that ends with chamber. You know,
in a chamber.
He's probably got all kinds of
something that ends with
supplements.
Something bollock chamber.
Something bollock chamber.
There's a lot of bollocks
down,
in there.
Bollock chamber.
Probably got a room in his house that, you know, takes a year off.
Yeah.
You know, if he sleeps in
been
it
talking
enough.
To Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas.
Or I'm sorry, adds a year on. I mean, it's just, yeah, I'm sure he's got something.
The Scientology thing.
Yeah, he's got, he's got that going for him, yeah. Whatever that is, whatever's up in there.
Speaking of Avatar, maybe he's like sleeping
maybe
in
the
chamber
got the
of water.
Yeah.
Exactly,
know?
There it
maybe
is.
Maybe he's in the, you know, the water chamber. I don't know. There's something he's doing because you're right. I don't think he ages. Mm-mm. In fact, I did see a funny quote that Kelly McGinnis. People were saying, "Why aren't you? You know, why weren't you in Top Gun?" She's like, "I'm old and I'm fat."
Oh wow!
No, Kelly, we don't want to think of you that way. Don't say that.
You know, it's funny along not exactly the same way, but there was a story, you know, with Laura Dern and Sam. What's the guy in Jurassic Park? They're back in this one.
Oh yes.
Sam, whatever his name is,
yeah,
is 23 years older than Laura Dern.
He doesn't look a bit different.
He's the same. He's also a guy that's aged really
never
well.
Never ages.
But I didn't know when I watched Jurassic Park in 1993 or whatever that was, mm-hmm. that there was that big of a difference in age. Because he's always looked younger than he is.
Sam Neill.
So Laura Dern was like... looking back on it, was that really appropriate? Like he was 40 and she, or 43, I guess, and she was 20 or 46 to 23 or whatever it was. Holy cow!
Wow,
they were a married couple.
Well,
nobody questioned it.
Yeah,
I guess that's how they rolled.
43, 23,
and now they're whatever they are.
Yeah,
no. We'll see if that one works.
No. No.
Nate says there's a drive-in in Lewisburg.
Okay. So that's two.
Yeah.
That's two.
So look, there's options.
Exactly.
Donovan in Wisconsin says there's three drive-ins within an hour of his house.
Wow.
So apparently they're big deal in Wisconsin still.
Wow. Gosh, they need to
have I would
more.
Think up north it probably works better at night. Like here, it's still too hot at night unless you want to run your air conditioning throughout the whole movie.
I mean
it's going to be hot. A lot of nights where you're going to go see the drive.
You're right. But
the drive-in, right?
Run in. You can turn off your lights.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. It's just going to burn a little bit of fuel.
Well, with the way gas prices are.
I know.
It's
like,
do that.
Add a little to the budget.
Exactly.
All right. We'll come back. We'll close up. Hour number one, we'll switch gears to the Titans. We'll do that next. Offensive coordinator Todd Downing talking to the media today. Both coordinators spoke this morning. The head coach will speak at about 11:15, so a little bit less than 30 minutes from now, we'll play what he has to say. Then a couple players are going to speak. They are practicing right now, so they're set to wrap things up here shortly. Then Mike Vrabel will speak. So Todd Downing, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Derek. There's a lot of pressure on Todd Downing because Arthur Smith took the job in Atlanta, became the Falcons head coach, and this team we thought was going to take – while they had a new offensive coordinator, they're going to take a step forward, you know, with Ryan Tannehill coming off the year that he had. A.J. Brown established himself as a number one receiver. You go and you add a guy like Julio Jones. At the time, a lot of big things. Yes, you lose Jonnu Smith, but they were acting like, you know, they won't miss a beat at the tight end position. Well, we know all those things didn't play out, and they took a major, major step back offensively. So there's going to be pressure, and a lot of people questioned, including myself, last year. Too many games where they looked very predictable. They didn't get off to good starts. And at some point, you know, the coordinator and the coaches, they have to take responsibility for that when it happens most of the season. Yeah, they made adjustments and got better. Like, I was there that 49ers game. I mean, they were so inept in the first half. I mean, it was embarrassingly bad. Luckily, they came out in the second half, and they were a totally different team, and they were able to get a really nice win on Thursday Night Football. But there's a lot of pressure on Todd Downing. And, oh, by the way, they brought in Tim Kelly as a passing game coordinator.
Yeah, it's going – this is his I think, and Vrabel may not say it because Vrabel doesn't say much when it comes to, you know, the coaches or the players. He didn't say anything last year, you know, in regards to the defense and them having Schwartz and as a consultant. He didn't say anything about the defense. I don't think he's going to say much now in regards to the offense. But I do believe Downing, this is his year to either this offense makes a jump or show that they're improving. Because if they don't, you just don't hire a guy, especially. And I said this when they hired Kelly. I can see if Kelly, you know, Tim Kelly was, you know, 60-something years old. He had already been a head coach. And this is something that, you know, because he wants to stay in the game, he still knows the game. This is a way for him to help out a friend and stay close to the game, because that does happen in the NFL. I could see if it was under that scenario. But under this scenario, you got a young guy that aspires to be a coordinator, offensive coordinator, and then a head coach. You can't tell me that, no, he's here because he wants to be a passing game coordinator. He's fine with that. No, he's a young guy, and he aspires to be a head coach. So if Downing doesn't get this right this year, then he's out. I believe he's out. And it's going to be Tim Kelly's job to take. So I do believe this is a make or break year for Downing. This offense, and I know the excuse, well, they don't have A.J. Brown, the offense changed, they got new offensive linemen, yada, yada, yada. I get that, but teams change every year. You have to prove that even with the team you didn't have last year moving forward, you have to be able to have an offense that's getting better, an offense that's capable of scoring, you know, 35 to 40 points if it needs to. The way this offense looked, it can't do that. The way it looked last year, it wasn't able to do that, and it was on Downing's watch. So if he can't get this offense up to gear to where it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, then Vrabel, he has to look for another coordinator. He just has to.
I don't know that he will. He's pretty normal. He's pretty loyal as his assistants go. I think what you're getting at, though, Derek, is regardless of the circumstances, it does end up being a results-oriented business. And I've always tried to be as fair as I can pointing out all of the stages last year where – they had issues. They had big off. They had big pass protection issues with injuries. Mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan's struggles. You know, they had all of the issues with the right tackle. You know, Quisenberry. They had a lot of things. It was different things, different weeks. They had musical chairs with wide receiver A.J. Brown in but hurt. Julio Jones out. Julio Jones is back in. A.J. Brown is out. You know, they had weeks where neither of them were out there. So it was a lot to deal with. But that having been said, you know, I think at the end of the year, you got to have results. And they did win 12 games. So I gave down, and you guys heard me say it, I'm not going to change now. I gave them a B, or maybe a B minus, for dealing with all of that stuff and still getting them to the division title. But I think the challenges are going to be a new set of challenges this year.
But it didn't
and
there'll
still
like,
be probably the bar's high because the expectations are high, and so there's going to be a lot of pressure.
But, I mean, disagree with me if I'm wrong, either one of you, but there just didn't seem like any creativity in the offense. I don't care who you have out there. You know, the creativity wasn't there like it was in previous years. That's what I'm saying. There's, you know, offenses nowadays, I mean, everybody understands you can only run so many plays in so many different ways. But how do you each and every week design that same play but be creative out of it? You know, you look at McVay, you look at Andy Reid, You look at some of these teams where their offense, even Buffalo with their offensive coordinator, Tampa with Leftwich. Granted, he had Tom Brady, but you saw the creativity because there's you can't make up new plays, but what you can do is design them different and be creative in them. I didn't see that in Downey, and he has to show that this year moving forward.
Well, you can talk about this better than anybody. A lot of times we think these are different plays. It's the same play, different looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same concept, but you're just giving a different look. It's designed, you know, basically to trick the opponent, right? But ultimately it's not – is it – I don't know. You tell us. I mean, you've been in those rooms. You've stuck your face in the playbook for 16 NFL seasons. Isn't that how it works where a lot of times – I mean, yes, these offenses can be complex, but overall, a lot of times, it's just about different looks, is it not?
Yeah, it's about different looks. How do you
same concept, different looks.
How do you design, you know, this particular play? We can run, you know, in routes, post routes, crossing routes, but how do we design it to make it look different? Because, again, at the beginning of the year, at two-a-day practice, we would get this huge book that looks like an encyclopedia.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, yeah, they don't have those anymore.
What's a two-a-day?
Let's just say.
For all the people that were tilting their head, that's a thing they used to do back in the day where they would actually practice twice.
Well, we actually practice twice a day for 5 days a week or 4 days
in
a week.
Yes.
I didn't
in
look
pads,
forward
yes.
to that part of the season myself.
In pads. But at the beginning of camp, summer camp heading to the season, we would get a book that resembled an encyclopedia. You know, those big Botanicas, the ones, the huge
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
Not
again,
the volume,
yeah.
if you're tilting
one.
Your head. Yeah. They actually used to sell these door to door.
Exactly.
You
absolutely.
Can actually buy them from a salesman.
So we would get a book that big. And granted, some of it would be, you know, run plays and then and the other half would be pass plays. But say if we had, at the beginning of the summer camp, heading into the season, say we had 400 pass plays, because that's what essentially that's what it is. 400 pass plays. You know how many pass plays we run during the season? Maybe
40, 50
okay. different ones. But we take that, they take that 50 and they try to find a way to run them out of different formations, disguising it a little, motioning guys down, trips, bunch. You know, stacks, doing it out of, you know, four wides instead of two, doing it out of three wides instead of two, doing it out of two tights and two wides, running the same plays but different formations
okay,
and different personnel.
Hold that thought. We're okay. going to pick it up on the other side. We'll pick up this discussion to start hour number two, plus we'll hear from head coach Mike Vrabel and some of the Titans players all in hour number two. That's next.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.